So, Dee, you're going to act as.
Presenter.
Yeah. And, let me find it on here so I don't have to.
Why are you recording?
Don't want to.
Deal with it. Bloopers, even though it doesn't count as bloopers. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, good luck.
We're going to include them anyway.
Who's there?
Can you introduce me by? Can you introduce it by then saying, "So welcome, blah blah blah." We're talking about Infinity War again and a couple of other movies.
I see magic.
To start, I think, blah blah blah. You've got this to say. I'm going to read this interesting bit. So, ready to go? 5, 4.
Wait, do
three,
I say? Sorry. Do I say everyone's names?
you can.
No, another episode of Coco. You know, another episode of Coco Goes to the Movies, whatever. Or we could call it.
Tokyo previous movies.
I'm interested in Game of Thrones, but I don't think we can do that.
Yeah. No, that's me too.
Tokyo Pump
Bound. Yeah, but it's good.
Hang on. Are we doing it? It's not called Tokyo Pump Bound, it's called Tokyo
Goes to
the
Movies.
That sounds good.
Tokyo
Goes to the Movies, yeah, that's
okay,
the one.
Okay,
cool. Hello and welcome back to the next episode of Tokyo Goes to the Movies. Today on our agenda, we are going to be talking about the new Marvel film, Infinity Wars, and we will be discussing our opinions on it. So what did everyone think of the movie?
I loved it. I didn't see it.
But you know all the spoilers, right?
Sort of.
Okay.
I just know who dies.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I've watched the spoilers.
Why do people do that? Why do people watch the spoilers?
It was spoiled to me. You know, Charlie, he spoiled it to me.
Really? On purpose?
On purpose.
Oh, Edward so Davies.
I think I should give him a detention.
Yeah, my brother was outraged at this. Yeah.
I really enjoyed outrageous. In the film watching Spider-Man become part of the Avengers.
Okay, I'm just going to say there are going to be spoilers.
I want Deadpool to become part of the Avengers.
No,
that'll be funny.
No,
just Deadpool.
You
can't put Ryan Reynolds and Scarlett Johansson in the same film.
Why not?
Okay,
they got history. They
were divorced. They're divorced, aren't they?
What?
I think.
I never knew that.
Okay. Who does she play? Who does she play?
She plays Black Widow.
Black Widow's not missed to get her own movie.
She should do, but now we've got Captain Marvel. Do we need it? I mean, that was.
Where's Hawkeye?
Doing other stuff.
They never talked about that.
No, they did. Their excuse was that the families were too important to them, so they didn't want to get involved.
That was just Ant-Man, though, wasn't it?
No, that was Hawkeye's one.
Yeah, that was Ant-Man and Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they'll be coming back in the next one, though.
They will.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Unless they died in the 50% chance.
Well, the next movie in the sort of sequence is going to be an important setting up, sort of establishing moment for what's happening with the Infinity War and what the consequences are. Ant-Man and the Wasp, it's interesting, we should rewatch the trailers and see if there are any indications. It will either take place just before it and you'll get at the end where people start succumbing to that 50% kill that Thanos imposes.
I think it will be that rather than after.
Yeah, it would be hard to do that. Because it's going to be, because a classic Ant-Man movie is a kind of heist movie or some kind of...
Yeah.
Little people getting into contaminated places.
Will they make a Captain Marvel film before the Avengers Part 2?
Yes, I think so. I think it's set for next April, and then there would be the next, and then the next Infinity War 2 is like next May.
No, it's next March.
Oh, well, it's going to be, I think the Captain Marvel movie is going to come before that and set up her.
Yeah, it is. It's coming out at the end of the year.
It's easily checked.
Oh, which one is this?
Captain Marvel.
Oh. No, I'm pretty sure that's next year's. Yeah, that's next year.
I think one of my other favourite parts of the film was when they were all disappearing, watching the reactions of, the other people, and then when Spider-Man started to go, it was because his spike... Nobody else felt it as they were going, but because of his spider sense and his trying to repair his...
Is that what it was?
Trying to repair, he's got that mechanism in him. That's why it was taking so long and it was so painful.
Did he die?
Yeah, he did.
I read this theory.
It was so heartbreaking because he sort of speaks to Tony Stark like a... a father or something, like, I don't want to go, I don't want to go, don't make me go. It was so difficult.
I was crying, my cousin told me to get away from him.
Spider-Man, in my opinion, was the person that acted best in that film.
Yeah.
But I think Tony Stark's reaction wasn't as
sad
as it should have been.
Are you serious?
I felt it. It was just in his eyes.
Yeah, I thought it was a good performance.
It was in his eyes, but that was it.
The poor bloke, I just said to my wife at the end of the movie, I was like, he can't have... a normal relationship. It's like his relationship is screwed because you can't have a normal relationship after that. After you've seen, been there at the moment, on an, he's on an alien planet at the end of the movie, on his own. Everyone's died. Does who?
Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He's absolutely on his own.
Was because it was because Star-Lord lost his temper.
But you kind of sympathise with Star-Lord.
I do kind of sympathise, but not
really. If he didn't lose his temper, there would be no film. So.
Yeah, it's true. Right, let me read you something.
Another good line was when Steve Rogers and Groot met. And Groot turns to Roger. I am Groot. Steve Rogers.
Yeah, he's so polite. That was a good, wasn't it? Good character. I love this character.
Oh yeah, the director said, so when Groot disappeared, they said what his final words were, and it was Dad.
Oh.
He was saying to Star-Lord, the Chris Pratt guy.
Doesn't Rocket survive?
No,
who said that? Who said
Rocket.
That? The director?
No,
Rocket doesn't die,
it was,
I think.
It was the big guy.
Thanos.
No, the big
Drax the Destroyer.
Drax, yeah.
So Groot calls him father or calls
yeah.
Star-Lord? Him?
Yeah.
But he was
Groot
wasn't
with Drax.
No, he was only with Rocket.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not.
Oh, he's one of those characters.
One of the many male Marvel
okay.
characters.
Can I read you something which I saw? This is from Warren Ellis, who's a comic book writer, who also wrote, he's written some other movies, and he did the Netflix Castlevania show. Have you seen that? So he's the guy who wrote that. Okay, so he's very, very good. If you want to, you may. I think it's quite horror. It's quite a horror cartoon. Okay, but he's very, very good on pop culture. And here's what he said about Infinity War. He says, it is perhaps best understood as an unprecedented brand power move. It is not a film, as that term is commonly understood. It is a sequence of connections. It's a statement from a bizarre place of popular culture ownership. It's a statement that they have done 10 years of film storytelling, often with very conventional story templates, so that everyone in the world will show up for what is often an extraordinarily unconventional story-like event with one extremely unexpected tonal shift. It, by design, makes no sense unless you've watched most, if not all, of the other Marvel films. There cannot be a casual viewer of this emanation, only a committed one. It is likely to be the largest worldwide opening of all time as I write this, even though it's not opening in China or Russia this weekend. The production values are near perfect, the days of the slightly janky Avengers special effects are long gone, and every pixel is painted with jeweled exquisite skill. As a visual experience, it is peak Marvel. The mocap on Josh Brolin makes Thanos a far more effective CGI villain than the waste of Kieran Hines on Justice League, which had all the performance nuance of a level boss in Doom 2. The writers and the directors worked very, very hard to make something that did not feel beholden to rules. They'll stop a thing dead for 60 seconds to do a gag. There are a lot of gags. I mean, no possible joke goes unjoked. Nothing I say here should be taken to denigrate the work of those people. They have achieved a remarkable thing. What do you think of that?
I have to say that the special effects was a lot better in this film than in Age of Ultron, because the beginning sequence of Age of Ultron was just really bad special effects.
What happens in the beginning sequence?
It was the castle invasion,
yeah.
Special effects that was absolutely awful.
It was a bit hokey. Whedon was obsessed with doing slow motion.
Yes.
Of them jumping in sequence and doing all that stuff, and it looks a little bit.
It looks really bad. So it's nice that they fixed that problem.
It was probably meant to look more cartoonish. I didn't. There's one more bit here. It is not a movie. It is a brand manifestation that wants to have prolonged, eager, and reasonably skilled interaction with you. It wants your... It says something else there, but it's too rude. It wants your experience with its content to be satisfying, and it hopes you are pleased enough to return for further interaction with the brand. This is very 21st century. What do you think of that? That it's not a movie, it's a brand manifestation.
I think that makes
sense. He's not very happy.
I think...
He likes it. He says he loves it, but he's saying that it's a brand manifestation.
I see what they mean, because everyone was kind of... Like, before it came out, everyone was saying, like, oh, this is going to happen. Everyone was talking about it.
Yeah,
it was, like, if a new pair of shoes came out, obviously in, like, million times of size, but if a new pair of Nike shoes came out, everyone would be comparing them, but they're all comparing their theories, whereas if it was, like, the first Iron Man film, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, they're totally standalone, aren't they, those movies? And it's an amazing cultural moment. I think there were a lot of people criticised. There was a New York Times review or New York Review of Books. But you said it's actually a bad movie because you can't watch it on its own.
I mean, it doesn't, no, because that's part of a series.
That doesn't make it a bad movie.
Yeah, but it's not, it's then like it actually becomes a series, like, not a movie.
Watch a Star Wars film alone.
No, because
yes, you can.
It's not an episode, because there are at least 3 hours yes. long.
Yeah.
Watch yes, the first movie, watch the fourth movie.
I agree with the fact that he said that it's a move for the brand rather than for the audience itself, because I thought that that was definitely for Marvel themselves rather than for the people that they were advertising it to.
Yeah, but they want it to. But they want it to sell. They want it to work. They want it to be the culmination of all these kind of like separate strands they've set up.
If you go off of they wanted it to sell, haven't they also done not a collab, but like a collaboration with Fortnite because they now have a new game mode or something?
Yeah, and they've also got another. They've also got a lot of skins which are going to be themed
around
Marvel.
Really?
And
they will tend to. They will always tend to do.
And that will probably like set up. Like, you know, if they see like on the screen there, they will set up, you know, wanting more people to watch it than two more, I guess.
Yeah. No, that's true. So it keeps one hand sort of strokes the other. I think is the expression. So the more you tie into Fortnite, the more people will then go back and watch the Infinity War.
It's like a big game.
Millions.
Just
people,
millions.
There's always been that. There's always been that idea. I mean, like, have you ever? There's a really good documentary on Netflix, which is about the creation of the toys for Star Wars,
yes.
And the fact that nobody thought that it was going to be at all lucrative, and so they couldn't get any of the big gaming toy manufacturers to do it, like Hasbro, and so they went to this really really tiny company in the middle of nowhere in the sort of Midwest, and they got these guys to do it, and now that company, just because they got the most incredible marketing deal, the percentage they got, so they just made. Incredible amounts of money, and that's why those early iterations of the toys, nobody knew that they were going to be so popular, the film was going to be so popular.
Speaking of Star Wars, what do you reckon the relationship between Star Wars and Marvel is going to be now? Like, are they competing now? Or
probably not. I don't think Star Wars actually really cares what Marvel does. I don't think Marvel cares what Star Wars does.
All of the film, they're all Disney, they're all the same company.
That's interesting, isn't it, to bring it out. It is. So how are they running it differently? So what's the difference in the production schedule?
I think, like, film-wise, not production, kind of value-wise, they've both gone a lot more kind of soft, because for Star Wars, there used to be a lot less love interest and a lot more kind of action that wasn't over the top. And same with Marvel, there was a lot less kind of softer, less deep points, whereas before it was quite dark, but it was a lot more philosophical than it is now.
That's an interesting point. What do you guys think with respect to that, to, which one was it? Winter Soldier.
I love Winter Soldier.
Yeah, no, I do as well. Winter Soldier is very interesting just because of it's got this kind of... It starts to get quite morally grey. Mm. It's not black and white anymore. Like, cause Star Wars is always... I mean, I think the problem for me that Star Wars has at the moment is that it doesn't quite know how to evolve into a world of movie making in which we're getting a bit more sophisticated about moral understanding. Because in the 70s, they make Star Wars and they go, there are these guys and they're called Darth Vader and they're the bad guys and they all wear black, and there's these good guys and they all wear white and they're good guys because they wear white and they've got different coloured lightsabers and it's fine. And it's like really, really like just like a complete sort of simplistic black and white, good and evil.
And that's what made them do well.
They did, because we love that. As human beings, we love that. I mean, I think that's quite satisfying. Well, yeah, but we do, but we have to be trained to like them. And now I think something like The Winter Soldier was so clever because it trained us to get, like, to go, okay, what responsibility does Captain America have in this? No. How much sympathy should he have for Bucky because Bucky was doing something that was wrong? And then it gets even worse when you get to Civil War.
Civil War was good.
Which is really complicated. It's like, where do we have our sympathy?
Civil War, I watched Civil War, like, a couple of weeks ago, and I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
It was, quite interesting. I mean, that was, like, one of the first things that really, like, one of the first major things that got me into Marvel was the... At that time, what really got me into Marvel was I bought some... comics from like the 1970s.
Oh, awesome.
Cool.
Vintage ones. And it was quite interesting. And then I just started looking more and more into this stuff. I just found it quite interesting.
What I would say is Civil War and The Winter Soldier were the last kind of films that were more philosophical before they went Marvel went properly Disney-esque.
Well, I don't know if I agree that they've gone Disney-esque.
They haven't gone, like, fully, like, there's
what,
a princess
what's your, what's your, so what's the name of the movie that you have an issue with for going Disney-esque or for going cartoonish, I suppose, is that the implication? Is it because it's not morally simplistic? I mean, a movie like... Because I know which one I hope you're going to go for, but which one do you think is the cartoonish one, or the sort of...
I mean, Spider-Man was cartoonish, but that worked well with the character that they had made.
So what do you think? Have you seen Homecoming? Spider-Man Homecoming?
No.
Oh, that's great.
It's a lot better than the last Spider-Man.
Yeah, because I was kind of skeptical, because I'd watched all the others, and I was like...
Being the best Spider-Man film was not a hard achievement to get.
Well, I know that some of them were okay, but they just never had the fun of it. They never had the kind of... It never convinced me that this was a high school... high school outsider. And he is. He really, really is. Like, they actually make us identify with him. And it was what Stanley said. It's like, it's got to be the kid who gets beaten up. It's got to be the kid who's, like, a bit of a weirdo. And that's the only way for that character to work, because he gets incredible power and he has to learn how to be responsible. He's like the opposite of Superman.
Can I just say, at the end, I'm pretty sure at the end of The Amazing Spider-Man 2, they ended on the cliffhanger, which we're never going to resolve.
Did they not make a third one with an electric person?
Yeah, well, that was number two.
No, there was definitely another one.
There were two that were directed by Sam Raimi, weren't there?
Garfield
one, and that was just a total.
I think she will be able to. She's the only person who can do it. And can we also just say, have you seen Infinity War yet?
There is one thing I'd like to say about that. Why did Doctor Strange give in his time stone?
Do you want me to explain?
Because they say, people are just saying it's because Iron Man's really, really important.
Going to
because Doctor Strange saw however many ways that this was going to turn out.
Yeah, and there's only one way.
There was only one way where they would succeed. Okay.
Yes.
So he must have seen how badly it was going already, and he must have seen that already happen. So Quill lose his temper and everything go wrong. He would have already seen that, and so at that point it would have just gone horrifically wrong anyway. So we might as well just quicken up the pace a bit.
And you're absolutely right. So he uses. I think that's the only time when he uses. I need to check, because when he's doing that vibration thing and he's like meditating, is he surrounded in a green aura? Because that's the colour of the time stone. So he's using the time stone to go through all the possible
situations. He did say he was using the time stone, I'm pretty sure.
And the last line that he has before he disappears is, this was the only way. It's not, I'm sorry, we failed. Or it's like, this was the only way. So this is part of the ongoing.
We have to disappear to come back.
He knows what will happen.
I
do you know what it is though? I know what it is. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I know where they've all gone.
Where?
Into the Soul Stone. But that was another thing. Because when Thanos used the Soul Stone, the place that he ended up, which was the slightly orangey, where he saw the child Gamora, was the colour of the Soul Stone.
Yeah,
and everyone was a bit shocked at that, because there was no one else apart from Gamora there.
So if everyone was already sucked into the Soul Stone, where was everyone?
Well, I think that we can probably talk, I think we can probably reverse engineer that just because of the fact that the Soul Stone is meant to be sentient to a degree. So it has the capacity, it's a pocket universe is how they describe it. I love that idea.
That is a
when he sacked first Gamora, was that Red Skull?
Yes, okay. Yes, it was. That was another thing that I was going to say. Red Skull, why did they bring him into this? I understand that Thanos and him have a connection, being like, we want to use Infinity Stones to do something to the world slash universe.
He was saying,
but I don't see why they had to use Red Skull.
Maybe they bring
no, because
they will.
Red Skull
is
my favorite.
But I don't see why.
That was great.
Infinity Wars to me was just one whole massive mashup of everything Marvel, and I don't think they did it correctly.
But they did.
No, because
it was perfect.
I
couldn't have done it better.
I wasn't a big fan of it.
Can I just say
I was
surrounded
by my
okay, we're gonna have to go back. We're gonna have to go back to the second why, but we'll go on.
Red Skull did say that he had tried to do what Thanos had done.
Yes,
but he failed and meant he was banished to bear.
Generally, I thought it was one of those kind of, I don't know, I can't think of an example, but like a cartoon collaboration where they get, say, because they had one where Scooby was bad at one point.
Oh god, that's a horrible cartoon.
I bought that for my sister for a birthday because she wanted it.
Such a tie, you know, my kids like it.
But like, things like that, as you said, that was awful. And I feel like it's along those sort of lines, but with a lot more characters.
Okay, anybody want to argue against that?
No, I'm just adding on to it. It's like, in collaborations, they can go horribly wrong.
I wouldn't say...
But they can go right as well. But like, an example where they've gone right is like, everybody knows the Simpsons.
Don't say Infinity Wars.
Everybody
That's
knows the Simpsons.
Okay, yeah,
and
they didn't.
I'm pretty sure that the same company made Futurama.
Futurama is amazing. And like five episodes
they've collaborated. But I think that worked really well, but I just think because they're the same creator.
It wasn't
but
collaborating,
it's
though. It was like...
The Futurama people, there's like teleported.
Yeah, but as I was trying to say, they
and
they can, you know, some of them can go really right, some of them. For example, Batman and Scooby-Doo, which is weird.
I just want to say something. Because, one, just two predictions. One, I think that Thanos will get sucked into the one of the Infinity Stones. And
or will he create a whole new Infinity Stone?
Or, and another one is where I think that all that Thor, Loki, and all the other Norse gods will die.
You say that again?
I think all the Norse gods will die. Thor, Loki, I think they all die. Ragnarok.
Well, we had Ragnarok. You think that was just a pseudo Ragnarok?
Yeah, Ragnarok is where all the gods die.
It's the death of the gods.
Actually, it's only the sons of the gods survive.
But all the main big gods die.
Yeah.
So who would Thor then? If we're gonna have like the offspring of the gods. How are they? Who is Thor going to marry? He's got to do it quickly.
I mean, he already has a child. Technically, he should already have a child.
In the comics, or
I mean, I've.
I know that I'm not talking about like proper Norse mythology. I'm talking about.
Oh no! I don't think he does.
He doesn't. But they have introduced the character that he is with in Norse mythology in the Marvel films already. If that makes sense.
Sif, who's meant to have golden hair, but I won't go into that.
They've already introduced her.
And she was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And she was...
Annoyingly.
Yeah, she was, wasn't she? But they introduced her in one film in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So if he was going to be with anyone, I would hope... I would think it would be with her, but then that would be very quickly get married, have children.
Okay. That would be a bit of a rush, wouldn't it? I quite like that theory, though, that they will die. Eddie, go on.
I found a thing on BuzzFeed which is interesting.